In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with the writings. These writings, basically, of St. Honorable de Francia is from Father Bucci in the book, The 17 Years. He compiled a book of the 17 years of the life that St. Honorable had with Luisa. And it's powerful. If you haven't read The 17 Years, you'll begin to understand she was under great spiritual direction, if you want to say, by this great saint who is now, as St. John Paul II said, he is the priest that you go to pray for vocations, to get vocations. So to St. Don Luis, St. Honorable wrote, "I feel worn out and extremely weak. I make great efforts to eat. My inner life is spiritual desolation." So here he's, again, this is between 1926 and 1927, and he's dying. He says, "God's will be done in me. And Jesus's love be consuming me." So here, you know, like Jesus said to Luisa, you know, "You consume me in the Holy Eucharist." And he says, "I want to consume you." And he teaches Luisa how to become a living host. And this is what St. Honorable is reflecting now. Very, very clearly, God's will be done in me and Jesus's love be consuming me. We become God's food. How can we become God's food? Well, it's the life of Jesus. It's the life of Mary. It's the life of the triune God. It's what God lives on. God lives on that first bread, that the bread that he feeds us with. He fed Adam with. He fed, this is what Jesus ate. This is what Mary ate. This is the food that sustained them on earth. It was the food of the divine will, the first bread. And so Jesus says to Luisa, "I gave the church the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, to prepare them for this perennial communion that we're going to receive again, the perennial communion that Adam had before the fall, where Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening." And to Luisa, he says, he confided his conviction that his work on behalf of the divine will has incited the devil to afflict him with spiritual trials. And that's what happens to each and every one of us as we enter into this gift. The devil is really ticked. He really is. And the good thing is that as you grow closer and closer to this life of Jesus and Mary through Luisa, as you enter into this life, the devil becomes aware that it's not you anymore. It's Jesus. It's Mary. And the more that we enter into this life, the more he becomes afraid. He becomes terrified of the new Adam and of the new Eve. He knows he has failed. He knows his time is over. And, you know, he little by little just gets away from us because, like we talked about, the light, this light that's in the divine will that the soul begins to enter into is much different than the light of the saints. The saint's light was doing the will of God, but to live in the will of God is what Adam had, what Adam possessed. And this is something that terrifies him because he thought seducing Eve and Adam, Adam falling into sin, that he conquered God's, he destroyed God's plan. And now with this gift of the divine will, he sees it's happening again, but even more powerful than what Adam had. He knows his time is over. He knows it. So in letter 13, St. Honorable de Francia to Luisa in Messina, 2/14/27, he has basically six more months before he's gone. "For now, keep volume 20 with you." So he's read volume 20. And this is what he says. "You tell me that in this volume, this 20th volume, there are things for which it seems incredible how much the highest God has done for us. And it is indeed so." So he's verifying what Luisa says. Yes, this is, When you begin to read volume 20, you've now entered into receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. Volume 1 through volume 10 is how to become a divine mirror of Jesus, how to become a saint, how to live as a saint. Volume 11 through volume 19 is how to live in the power, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to live in the divine will. And volume 20 through volume 36 is it's incredible. These things, how much the highest God, Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, has done for humanity. It is indeed so. I also tell you that in reading the nine exercises of Christmas, and this is what this is why Christmas, the nine exercises of love are so important. And when you read, again, Louisa read them from March 25th, the 9 months before Christmas, she read them every day, all nine excesses of love every day for 9 months. And her reward from Jesus and Mary was to hold the baby Jesus. Our Lady put the baby Jesus at Christmas in her arms. And so I also tell you that in reading the nine exercises of Christmas, of which we have already prepared the proofs, one remains astonished at the immense love and the immense sufferings of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ for love of us and for the salvation of souls. And then he says this, now here is a saint. I have never read in any other book on this topic, a revelation so touching and so penetrating. So what we do is for Christmas, for the 9 days before Christmas, we focus on these nine excesses of love. And it's the same thing. We have never read in any other book the topic of a revelation that is so touching, that is so penetrating. It changes us. Why? It's Jesus speaking to us. It's Jesus telling us what he did in the womb for 9 months. And he didn't tell any of the saints about this. He told Louisa. And then he says, for everything, let us give glory to our blessed Lord. So here, St. Annabelle de Francia is, we're seeing his character. He is in love with Jesus. He is in love with Our Lady. And he's telling Louisa, this is so glorious. This is so amazing. And this is what happens when we read the Book of Heaven, when we read the nine excesses of love, especially what's coming in Lent, the 24 hours of the Passion. Everything changes for us. We become joy-filled. We become happy. It's heaven. It really is. You begin to get a glimpse of heaven while on earth. It's just astonishing. So he says, and now I cannot do without commending myself warmly to your prayers, Louisa, before our blessed Lord Jesus, for the work, for the strengths, for the tranquility of spirit and of mind in order to publish, or better, to compile, to record, to publish these most precious writings. That's the Book of Heaven. It becomes like a lifesaver in the water. You know, how do we stay afloat? How do we keep on going? How do we do this? And Jesus shows us, as you read the most precious writings that Jesus dictated to Louisa, we stay afloat. It's more peaceful, more joyful, more happy. According to the enlightenments which I seen to have received by our Lord. Now, this is the same thing for us. We could write the same thing, that he may want to restrain the infernal legions of his divine power so that they may not succeed in destroying me. We're going to be attacked. And now this is a great prayer. May Jesus restrain the infernal legions with his divine power, that these demons may not succeed in destroying me. So we are in battle. You have to understand, we are at war. And the beautiful thing about this war is it's a war of love. And Jesus says, we're not battling the evil one. We're battling God. And when you begin to understand this war that we're in is to conquer God. Okay, now that might sound strange at first, But Jesus says, I want to give this gift of gifts to humanity. Who wants this? Luisa is the only one that said she wanted it. She's the only one that lives this fullness of life. And now he's offering it to us. Jesus says to us every day, do you want this gift of the divine will? Do you want it? And when we say yes, he says, fight for it. Fight for it. And he says, so that you conquer me and I can give it to the world. So this war that we're in, a lot of people, this doom and gloomers, like, oh, this is happening. Oh, that's happening. Oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? And it's like, the kingdom's coming. The kingdom is coming. Jesus says, this gift is so beautiful. It's so powerful. It's so God that humanity isn't worthy of it at this point. And I have to purify the church and purify the world so the world will be able to embrace it because it's so powerful. It's heaven coming to earth. Now, if you haven't listened to the near-death experiences, it's very helpful to understand. You will begin to see things from a different perspective. When people have the near-death experience, which all of us basically are going to have, this near-death experience is going to help us realize that there's more to life than what we think, more to life than we've ever discovered. For example, the colors, the smells, the sounds of heaven are not of earth. And the colors, there's no way to describe the colors. The colors are, they're not of this world. There's no words to describe it. The sounds, the harmony, the music, the sound of the angels and the saints, it's really their souls, the song that they have been given by God to sing for all eternity. Everyone is so unique, but together it's an orchestra of divine beauty. Our Lord wants us. See, we have a narrow perspective of truth, you know, because we are limited. We're in the fallen nature. We have been redeemed, but we're fallen. Jesus wants us to see things from his divine perspective. So our intellect has to be enlightened. We have to be, he wants this breath of God, this rule of God to breathe into us his image and likeness so that we can begin to live this life, this joy, this happiness of heaven while on earth. So he says, and for this also, commit the power of the Most Holy Virgin Mary, that Mary, the Blessed Mother, may keep Lucifer and his demons in chains and may keep him sheltered under her maternal mantle. It's, if you have the Douay Rheims, it says in Genesis 3:15, it basically, the woman, she is going to crush the head. And some people have changed it to that it's Jesus that's going to crush the head. But the reason it's not going to be Jesus, he defeated Lucifer on the cross. He conquered death. That's Lucifer, death. That's why the 3 days of darkness that's coming is death that's coming to the earth. God is going to say to death, take what's yours and leave. The kingdom is coming. We have to get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. So the next thing after he says, may the Lord restrain the infernal legions with his divine power that they may not succeed in destroying me. And that's a good prayer for us. And for this also commit to the power of the Most Holy Virgin Mary, that she may keep Lucifer and his demons in chains, that she may keep me sheltered under her maternal mantle. See, this prayer of the new Adam and the new Eve that St. Honorable de Francia prays is for us at this time. And that's why I think God is giving us this prayer, because it's all heck is going to break loose. And God is going to win. God is going to win. This is why there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be anxious about. There's nothing to be worried about. The more that we can say fiat, the more we learn to have the true life of Jesus and Mary, Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Heavenly Father, may your will be done. And Our Lady said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me. Total surrender, total docility to the Lord. This is what God is asking. We want that true life of Jesus. We want that true life of Mary to be reigning in us. That's Luisa's life. And God is offering this to us. So now listen to this. This is another reason why when I first went to the Rogationist when I was in Rome, I think in 90, I did that then. Might have been earlier than 1990. I went to the Rogationist house and I knocked on the door and this older priest opened the door and he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "I'm here to learn about Luisa Picaretta." And he slammed the door in my face and I went, "Oops, maybe I said the wrong thing." So the next year I went back and the next year the priest opened the door and he says, "What do you need? What do you want?" And I said, "I'm here to learn about Luisa Picaretta." And he goes, come in. And that was Father Pignatelli. He's the one that promoted St. Honorable de Francia, got St. Honorable de Francia canonized. He was the postulator of the cause. We became great friends. And it was really funny. I had this medal of, I think it was the 30th anniversary of the death of St. Honorable de Francia, a beautiful silver medal. And he was showing me, he said, "Let me show you." And he showed the case and he showed all the medals that were there of St. Honorable de Francia. And I reached in my pocket and I said, "I don't see this one in there." And he goes, "Oh, where did you get that?" And I said, "Well, it's yours." I said, "It should be here." And he goes, no, this is yours. And I said, no, it should be here. You know, it should be with all the other medals. And I said, "And I think I got another one." And he goes, "Yeah, you got another one." And I, "Well, I think I do." And it was 3 months later, I was back in Rome and I had another one. And it was, I don't know how I had two of them, but I went back and I reached in my pocket and I said, "See," like I said, we became great friends. I mean, it was really amazing. But as a matter of fact, when I gave him the writings of the servant of Luisa Picaretta in Italian about St. Honorable de Francia, basically that's the 17th book that Father Bucci did. He had the painting of St. Honorable de Francia in the back sacristy, in the back chapel. And it's this beautiful image of St. Honorable de Francia in the air, radiating in glory, which Jesus said to Luisa, look at him, how beautiful he looks. He's living in the divine will. So this is amazing time. So this is, I want to make you understand the reason why the door was slammed in my face the first time. She says, "No, you must know this, that I no longer occupy myself with almost anything of the other things of my institutes, since I now dedicated myself completely to the great work of the divine will." They were angry with him because he just says, this is the most important thing, not the Rogationist, but this is the most important thing. And the people were then when all that nonsense happened about Luisa with the Vatican, that's when they said, "We don't want anything to do with Luisa." So when I knocked on the door, the older priest that was there, they knew what happened to the Rogationists because of Luisa. And again, it was all misunderstanding. This is how everything works. The evil one tries to destroy what is good, what is of God, by misunderstandings. And we have to overcome misunderstandings. We really have to become one, Archbishop Piccari said, we have to become the family of Luisa. We have to become the family. There's different things that are happening to things that are said, but we have to be peaceful with our brothers and sisters in the divine will. So he says, must know that I no longer occupy myself with almost anything of the other things of my institute, since I have now dedicated myself completely to the great work of the divine will. I talk about it with people of spirit. See, it's people of goodwill. See, there are so many people of goodwill that when you start talking to them about the divine will, they seem to understand almost immediately. I engage in conversation about this topic with whomever I best can. I promote it as much as I can also in my institutes. So when, you know, it's the divine will becomes our life. And what we've discovered is we try to explain it to our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, and it's foreign. See, that's why he says, I talk about it with people of spirit, people of goodwill. And it's not that they're of bad will, but what is the goodwill? It's Our Lady. When the angel said, you are going to be the mother of God, she says, how can this be? I've already decided to have a virginal life. I'm not going to know man. I'm not going to have children. So how can I become the mother? What do I need to do to help this? She wanted to know, how can I help you to have what God wants to be accomplished? And the angel said, it'll be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, fiat mihi, let it be done. Total surrender, total docility, total submission. When we read the book of heaven, that's what we have to have as well. There are certain things, this language of heaven, that is difficult to humanly understand because it's a divine language. And you have to see our intellect, memory, and will, the three powers that God has given us. We have to begin to think with the mind of Christ. Now, how does that happen? Well, as you're reading, as you're studying, as you're putting this into practice, as you go through this, what happens at that point is you begin to think with the mind of Christ. Because as you're reading, you go, oh, I understand that. Oh, I believe that. Oh, you become of goodwill, of God's will. And this is what he says. As soon as possible, with divine help, we will establish the pious universal union for the children of the divine will with the little chaplet. Now, the little chaplet, he helped bring about the chaplet of the divine will. And that's a powerful prayer to pray the little chaplet of the divine will. And now the pious association, Luisa Picaretta, the little children of the divine will, was established in 1986 by Archbishop Carrata. And at that time, they said, do you want to join? And I said, absolutely. So we signed up. Everybody that was there signed up to be part of the association, Luisa Picaretta, Little Children of the Divine Will. And then as time went on, that got so big that they couldn't handle it. So they said, we're just going to take care of the few that are in Corrado. And that's what they're doing now. But you can still get the newsletter, and it's very, very powerful. It's very, very important to be linked with this pious association, Luisa Picaretta. And again, as time goes on, I think we're all going to work together, one with Corrado, because Jesus said to Luisa, Corrado is very important to him. As Nazareth was important to the Blessed Mother, Corrado is important to you, Luisa. So the association with Luisa in Corrado, to go to Corrado is part of everybody's life, basically. And to be at the tomb of Luisa before everything happens is really important. It's really, really important. So this is what's coming. As soon as possible, with divine help, see, because he died a few months after this, we will establish the pious universal union of the children of the divine will, which then happened in 1986. You wrote me that whenever I write and speak with others about this topic, adorable Jesus seems to go out of your heart, in which he always remains. So we know that where Jesus lives is in the interior, in Luisa's heart. And that's where Jesus wants to be with us. To embrace the divine will, to say yes to the divine will, Jesus says to Luisa, that's the conception of Jesus in your heart. The conception has taken place. Now, Jesus says, every act that you do, every round that you do is another atom placed in this conception of Jesus, where he begins to grow in us to the point that he breathes in our breathing, beats in our heartbeating, gazes in our gazing, listens in our listening, dancing in our dancing, sings in our singing. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And we're participating in that as if we're doing it, Jesus says, but he in actuality is doing it. So Jesus seems to go out of your heart, which he always remains. He puts that in there to help us understand, I think, in order to come and listen to what we say here in Messina, and he is pleased. So here, St. Honorable knows that when the divine will is spoken about, it makes Jesus happy. And he's there listening to the priest, proclaim this. This is why Jesus said to Louisa, you know, it's given to you to give it to the priests, to give it to the humanity, because it has to come through the church, because he says the divine will is the sacrament of sacraments. And therefore, when you're talking about the divine will, you know, in the pulpit, where the priests, the deacons, the bishops, it's pleasing Jesus. He is pleased. Therefore, in this state, now light, now grave, of interior perturbations, of aridity in which I find myself, help me with your prayers before your beloved spouse and my most loving Father, Jesus. May he give me confidence, patience, and transformation in his divine fiat in some, and that he may make me do a good novitiate. So again, this is a new beginning for St. Annibal de Francia, and he's asking Louisa to pray for him. We also ask Louisa to pray for us. I want to know everything that Jesus taught you. I want to put into practice everything that Jesus taught you, that you put into practice. You're the one who did this. I want to be linked to you. So this is very important. Help me, Louisa, with your prayers before your beloved spouse and my most loving Father, Jesus, that he, this is what the priest should be praying, may give me confidence, patience, and transformation as divine fiat to make me do a good novitiate. It's a new beginning for St. Annibal de Francia, like a novitiate. And for the priests, as they enter into this gift, it's the same thing. This is a powerful prayer. If you are a third order Benedictine oblate, it's a powerful prayer. Let me become what you have asked me to become. This enterprise is great, not only because of everything I told you, but consider that it is almost 25,000 copies of the whole work, of all the volumes, present and future. Therefore, it is an enterprise of millions of lira. It's a new beginning for Italy. And again, this happened February 1927. And he died shortly after that. His whole life was to give this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, on paper to the world. That's what Saint Pius X said to him, that the writing should be printed. That's what Cardinal Ratzinger said in 1990, all the writings of Louisa should be printed, published. It's basically what Archbishop Piccheri said before he died, that I want to put the imprimatur on all the writings. So this is a glorious time that we're in. As everything begins to change in the world, new things are coming for all of humanity. And it's really a glorious time to be alive. It really is. He says, so it's about 25,000 copies of the whole work. Now, listen, of all the volumes, past, present, and future. It's his job. It's St. Annibal de Francia's job. Jesus said to Louisa, it's his job to promote this. If you have of the Book of Heaven, thank him. All the volumes, past, present, and future, an enterprise that God is doing, basically. Those dear young men of mine in Oria, the typographical trifographers with working with great affection and great care. And I assure you that the editions present and it's presents itself in a very beautiful, and I hope to send you a sample soon. From the handwriting of this letter, you will notice that I have a secretary, as I told you the other times, who is Sister M of the Holy Eucharist, to whom the Lord has given in great grace of cooperating with me in completing the revisions of the proofs, letters, and recordings, keeping the manuscripts and the little archives, etc. She commends herself very much to your prayers that she may fulfill her office as well. So here, at that point, he was having a hard time writing. His handwriting became, when you look at the writings of Louisa, her original handwriting, you can see when Louisa was in great pain, her handwriting was very, you know, jumpy and very, it wasn't smooth. She had beautiful handwriting. You could see it when she was in pain and when she was joy filled, which she would do with fiat, the word fiat in her books, her manuscripts. She would write fiat. She just draw little lines and hearts all around the word fiat. There's a couple of pages where she was like doodling. It was kind of fun to see her just so happy to say the word fiat, to write the word fiat. I keep explaining my thoughts regarding the compilation and the publication of this great work of this great Cardinal Vitali, a priest, Canon Vitali, a priest, so very dear to me and to my young priests. So here he is talking to the priests. He's showing the priests, the canons, there's nothing as beautiful as this. And I say this to my brother priests. You have never read anything as beautiful as this. When you read the Book of Heaven, there is nothing as beautiful as this. And they all look, you know, like, okay, you know, like you pat you on your back, like, okay, calm down, you know, everything's fine. But they got to have, you got to pray, like we prayed, it was a couple of weeks ago on 111, page 111. Call the angels, prostrate themselves, their faces to the ground to pray. And with the priests who are supposed to see these writings, tell the angels to touch their foreheads, in order to impress in the priests the Holy Spirit, so as to infuse in the priests the light in order to make them comprehend these truths and the good that are in these writings. So that prayer, again, after I read that prayer, I was at the funeral of my bishop, and all the priests were there, and I'm sitting basically, you know, in the corner, and I'm looking at all the priests, and I'm going, this is a perfect time to pray this. For all the bishops that were there, the cardinal was there, and I prayed this prayer for all the priests to that the angels would touch their foreheads to impress on them the Holy Spirit, to infuse in them the light in order to make them comprehend the truths and the goods that these writings possess. You can do this every day. Call the angels, have them touch the heads of all the priests who are supposed to see these writings. And this is going to speed up the process, because again, we've been reading the Divine Will for so long, and I must have read this at least three or four times, but it never hit me until we read it a couple of weeks ago. This is so powerful. Jesus, tell the angels to touch their foreheads, to impress in the foreheads of these priests, the Holy Spirit, to infuse in them the light, to make them comprehend the truths. You could say that if you're a priest or a deacon or a bishop, you could say that, Lord, have the angels touch my forehead and impress in me, the Holy Spirit, to infuse in me the light in order to make me comprehend the truths and the goods that are in these writings. This is something that is, I really, truly believe as we read, Jesus says, now is the time I want you to do this. Now is the time. And let's not lose that time that we have, which is very short, very, very short time. So Jesus says to my young priests, and since they are very intelligent and of good spirit of God's will, they might be my successors in this great work if the Lord should call me to himself. So he knows he's ready to die. He knows this. And they would proceed with the same method and system which I started. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. I think the priests now, the Rogationists, as they read the Book of Heaven, and they are reading it, they're overwhelmed what God has planned for them to do out of all the priests that ever existed, what they have planned to do. And what is it? That to be a successor of this great work, to proceed with the same method and system which St. Honorable de Francia started. It's a unique time. It's a powerful time. And we're going to see a lot of the evil one trying to destroy what God has planned, but he's not going to win. He can't win. He's going to lose, and he's going to lose real bad. And then he says, I end here. I have tired you enough, but with whom can I talk about such things? And that's the other thing too. The divine will is so great. It is so great that we want to share this with one another. And, you know, most people don't want to hear anything about it, but we have to be with people of one heart, one mind, one soul. This life of the divine will that God has breathed into us, which we said yes to, gave our fiat to, we have to be with people of one heart, one mind. And that's one of the reasons why we try to meet every year. I think we've been doing it since the early 90s, every August 15th, where we get together, the little family of Louisa, and we share with one another. And this next time that we're going to meet is going to be in Rome City, Indiana. That's Our Lady's Shrine, Our Lady of America Shrine. And it's the weekend. We get there Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and we leave on Wednesday. So we get there on Sunday, leave on Wednesday. But it's a few days to be with the little family of the little children of the Holy Divine Will, the little family of Louisa. And the wonderful thing about that is it's really a family. It's like he says, I hope, but with whom can I talk about such things? And when we're together, it's a lot of fun just to sit and talk about anything and everything, and how everything points to the divine will, how everything that we've ever desired, we wanted, we've searched for is found in the book of heaven. So again, from whom can I hope for an interest of prayers in my current state? So here, this prayer we need for one another, this talking to one another is so essential. The miracles that are going to come that have already begun with Louisa is going to astonish the world. I told my bishop that. I said that what Jesus tells the priests is that the miracles that are going to come are unheard of prodigies. That's going to wake everybody up to let them know that what we have here, this earth, is nothing compared to what's coming. And it's very close to coming to all humanity. When you really begin to understand this love that Jesus has for us in the divine will, you know, everything changes for us. So he says, this Mother Superior General, the Mother Superior General, thanks to the Lord, is improving. She thanks you for your prayers and sends you her obeisances. And give my regards to the good sisters at that trip, that place, and to your dear sister Angelina, and many things to Reverend Father Calvi. So here we see that this family, I'm talking about the family of Louisa. When you're with Louisa, you're one. When you're with Louisa, you're one with her, who is one with Jesus and Mary, one with the Holy Church, one with a new era, one with a new beginning, and everything is peace, joy, and happiness. It really is. I intend to fill you with all the blessings I am capable of as a priest, as a spiritual father in these dear publications. So here, again, this is one thing that the laity should do with priesthood, is always ask the priest for his blessing, because it's Jesus's blessing. It helps the priest understand that their job is powerful. It's powerful. The amount of healings that are going to come through this great gift of the divine will is going to astonish the priesthood. Like, what does he say? And this is what priests want. I want to fill you with all the blessings that I am capable of as a priest and as a spiritual father in this book of heaven, in these publications, in this new and divine way of holiness. This is so powerful that nothing can stop what God is doing. Nothing can stop what God is going to bring about. The new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the new and divine way of holiness, nothing can stop this. So he says, in the most holy hearts of Jesus and Mary, I say yours in Jesus Christ, Father De Francia. Father De Francia, get to know him, pray to him. pray that the vocations can just blossom, because in the new era, every church, every mosque, every temple is going to be Catholic. Everything is going to be, everyone will begin to live that universal life, that Catholic life that God breathed into Adam. That's why when Jesus and Mary came to earth, they started the Catholic faith. Why? To get the world ready for this universal life. This is a great time to be alive. We're going to see things that the saints only dreamed of. We're going to experience things that God has saved for the end. It's like Cana. It's like Cana in Galilee. He saved the best wine for last. And you got to remember, there was six jars of, 30 gallons apiece, 20 to 30 gallons. That's 150 gallons, 150 gallons of wine. He wants us to be happy. And the wedding, the first miracle is the wedding feast. Why? The kingdom is coming, and that's the wedding feast. This oneness with God, fusing ourselves with God, living in God's holy divine will. God is offering this to us, and he's really asking us. He's really asking us to let go of everything that is human to embrace the divine. And again, that's basically the last prayer we pray in the morning. When you do your prevening act, I want nothing more of earth. I only want that of heaven. As a matter, there's a song, I think it's called I can't remember the name of it, but there's a song that talks about, I want nothing more of earth. I only want that of heaven. And here, this is what Jesus is teaching us. And the world is getting ready for this new and divine way of holiness. Good things are coming, and we'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. We pray that all the little children of holy divine will, all their family, their friends, their loved ones, be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.